You're listening to the Bold Apologia podcast. Here you can expect to find real conversation and dialogue centralized around the purpose for sharing the hope of Jesus Christ in light of theology, apologetics, and culture. We hope and believe this episode will add confidence to your faith by equipping you with boldness to share the good news of the gospel. And now, your host, Adam Parker.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the Bold Apologia podcast. And being that this is the first episode that I'll be recording, I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Adam Parker. Currently, I am a youth pastor in Arlington, Washington. But I'm actually in the process of transitioning to another church in New Glarus, Wisconsin, to serve as an associate pastor working with youth and young adults. I'm a husband and a father of two. I just had a baby girl that was born about 4 weeks ago, and I'm passionate about the gospel, theology, and apologetics, and I want to serve God's kingdom to the best of my ability. Being that this is a new podcast, it's a startup, I'm going to go ahead and explain just a little bit more about this podcast. The inspiration of this podcast, or the name of this podcast, actually comes out of Acts chapter 17, where Paul, he addresses the unbelievers at Mars Hill. And I'm going to get into that a little later in the podcast, but I want to talk about this mysterious word, or at least a word that would be mysterious to people who are not very well versed in apologetics or in theology, and that is apologia. Now, apologia is a Greek word. It can be used as a noun, and as a noun, it could be, for example, a formal written defense of one's opinions or conduct. For example, an apologia given on behalf of a defendant in court. Lawyers give an apologia on behalf of their clients. There are some other synonyms that can be thrown out there for apologia. One would be defense, or a justification, or a vindication, or an explanation. And another way to put it is to give an apologia, or give an answer to. A lot of what it means to be a Christian in this world, we need to be ready to give an answer. The world has many questions, and I believe that we, the church, we have the apologia. We have the answer. I believe this is why the Apostle Peter says that we must always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's 1 Peter 3:15. The world has questions about sexuality, identity, meaning, value, purpose, destiny, morality, and so much more. And the world asks these questions about these things, and the world comes up with its own answers. But as believers, we know that the world seldom comes to the right conclusions. As God's children, we are representatives of Him on this earth, and we need to be ready to boldly proclaim the truth to this lost world. When believers hear about apologetics, they often view apologetics as something that is only for quote-unquote apologists. You know, like some of my favorites, like William Lane Craig, or Frank Turek, or Lee Strobel. And you know, this isn't so. Apologetics is actually for all believers. Apologetics is for pastors. It's for missionaries. It's for evangelists, teachers, fathers, and mothers. It's for everyone. And I'm going to go into more on this later in the podcast, but needless to say, apologetics is an aspect of Christian life and practice that is inevitably used, either well or poorly. Christians use apologetics. And I have some hopes and dreams for this podcast as we continue on this journey that I'm starting with this Bold Apologia podcast. And I'm just going to go through some of those. One, my hope is to establish this podcast as a resource for helping believers become bold at giving an answer for that hope that is within them. Many believers struggle to do this, and my hope is that through this podcast, I can help other believers be more confident in giving an answer for the hope that is within them. Another hope of mine is that I seek to go over more than just answers to objections. When people think of apologetics, they think of a Christian apologist answering objections from the world or from other faiths like Islam, what Muslims may challenge Christians with, or what an atheist may challenge a Christian with. But what I hope to do with this in equipping other believers is I hope to cover theology and doctrine. I hope to go over church issues, have those tough conversations that need to be had when it comes to Christian living, and so much more. Even the topic of Christian living, it requires some sort of bringing up. These things need to be talked about. One might ask why, and I think that it's because sometimes the way we live is all the answer some skeptics or unreached people need for them to come to that knowledge of the truth. And I've heard it said this way before, and I don't 100% agree with the statement as a standalone statement, but I think that in some ways it's true. But one person put it this way: always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. And so I think that there's power behind that, and I do have issues with it because you should always be using words to preach the gospel. But I see the sentiment behind it, that we as believers, we need to be able to navigate and live out the Christian life so that when we're telling the world about this Jesus, they can see how we live our lives and will say, I want what they have. And I think that's important. Another hope that I have is that I want this podcast to be less about merely only being about apologetics and more about simply empowering Christian listeners to boldly stand for Christ and His gospel, and to advocate for the gospel, and to preach the gospel. And I think this is important because the culture we live in is ever increasingly becoming more and more secularized. We don't live in the theonomous culture that the baby boomers lived in. We live in a culture that is going fast toward the New Age movement, going fast toward secularization, and we need to be prepared to make a stand and to be bold when the world comes at us and to be able to give that answer, give that explanation, give that defense, and to proclaim the gospel. Another hope that I have is that this podcast would be less about merely arguing ideas and more about administering the gospel message to everyone listening. I want that to be a key element of what I do in this podcast. And my hope is, yes, to reach the lost through the proclamation of the gospel and giving appropriate answers to the skeptics of today with truth and with love. Another hope I have is that this podcast will grow and we'll bring on guests and we'll talk about different topics, we'll tackle different topics that the listeners, you guys, will want to hear about. And my hope is that this podcast will be more than content, but it'll also be a ministry. My hope is to look at a variety of topics that will take myself and my listeners outside of our theological echo chambers and broaden our perspective so that we have more of an understanding of the world around us. I think the more understanding that we have, the better we will be at doing this thing called giving a bold apologia or a bold answer or a bold explanation. There's so much more that I would like to say, but I think it's better for me to just get into the main topic, and we'll reveal what some of these other hopes are as we go along. My topic for this podcast is, being that the podcast is called Bold Apologia, I want to talk about the usefulness of apologetics. You see, I'm a Pentecostal. I have grown up in Pentecostal circles. And one thing I find that is a woeful issue in Pentecostal circles is there's not a very high emphasis on things like theology and doctrine. And yes, apologetics. It's becoming less and less important. So that's why I want to really explain just the fact that apologetics is something that we all do. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of what we do. We can't get away from it. You will either do it well or you will do it poorly. That being said, yes, apologetics, it's intertwined in how we disciple the church and evangelize the lost. This means that apologetics is something that we all will need to use as we live out the Christian life. And if we aren't using apologetics, we aren't practicing the Christian life. Now, there are some who are apologists by vocation, but it's not just the Christian apologists by vocation who need to be able to give an answer for the hope that is within them. We need to be able to do that too. Those of us who are not Christian apologists by vocation. Because that is a command in 1 Peter, that we need to be ready in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that is within us. I just want to cover what are some of these things that apologetics is, that we just can't get away from it. And first, apologetics is theological. In order to do apologetics, you must know what you believe and why. If you're studying theology, you're already doing apologetics. And if apologetics is theological, then it's also doctrinal. And with this being the case, we need to take it very seriously because Scripture warns that we should watch our life and doctrine closely, as Paul encouraged Timothy to do this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. So apologetics has to do with doctrine and theology, but that's not all it has to do with. That's not all it's for. You see, apologetics is part of evangelism. If you are evangelizing the lost, it's likely that you are doing apologetics either well or you're doing it poorly. And I want to go through kind of an example, actually several examples of what that looks like, because some will say, oh, well, that's not actually how Paul did it. And I'll get into that, but Paul, he did use apologetics. He used apologetics with the Jews. Many in my circle, which is Pentecostalism, that's my vein of Christianity, they downplay the importance of apologetics. They do. Many of them do. They say you only need the power of the Holy Spirit to work. And that's true. If we don't have the Holy Spirit in evangelism, we're not going to be successful in evangelism. That's just the fact. These people, and I've heard it so many times, I had one person say, speaking from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, back up this point, because they would say that apologetics is just about knowledge. And that's not what apologetics is about. But the verses they use, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, which Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Boom. There you go. There's your proof. Apologetics is not necessary for evangelism. You don't need it. To which I would say, that is absolute nonsense. That's nonsense. We need apologetics. Yes, Paul said to the Corinthians, speaking about a particular controversy that was going on at the time, mind you, saying to them these things so that they wouldn't be so impressed by the lofty words from different people that they desired to follow. Like today we have our favorite theologian. We have our favorite preacher. We have our favorite Christian apologist even. And here Paul's saying, I didn't come to you with that as my main focus. That's the point he's getting across here. He said, I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. But here's the thing. That's not all he did. I fully affirm these verses as valid and legitimate. You know, Paul, he came to the Corinthians believers with the gospel. And one thing we need to understand is that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. However, all of these things said, the point I want to get to is that in Acts chapter 17, Paul uses apologetics. So in Acts 17, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Let's pause there a minute, because that's significant. Growing up, when I was a kid, I was really passionate about apologetics. I think maybe I was a little misunderstood, but I would have well-meaning, older people put their arm around my shoulder and say, hey, I just want you to know that you can't argue people into the kingdom. And I wish that I would have had the mind to point these well-meaning brothers and sisters in the Lord back to Acts chapter 17. Let me just go back and just reread particularly verses 2 and 3, because these are significant. It says that Paul went in, what? As was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. And he did this explaining and proving. Remember early on in the podcast, I said that a synonym for apologetics is an explanation. A synonym for apologia is an explanation. Explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead. One of the most powerful aspects of Christian apologetics is the overwhelming evidence for the resurrection. And here Paul is using that very apologetic response to the Jews. Don't get me wrong. He capitalizes on this by preaching the gospel. Right? Because he says, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. and then some were persuaded. I believe that there was probably more said than just, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." I believe that from there he went on to preach the gospel. And some were persuaded. People who say you can't persuade someone into the kingdom, I just don't see that as true. We have an example of it right here in the scriptures. Does that mean that that persuasion is because of my lofty words? No. Is it because of Paul's lofty words? No. But what this does seem to indicate is that there was a reason for that apologetics, that that apologetics was a helpful tool in the witnessing process, and God will use it. We see Paul reasoning with the Jews. He's using Old Testament prophecy to show them that Jesus is the Messiah. It says he's persuading them. He's explaining and proving, showing that it's necessary. This was necessary for Christ to die. And just plain and simple, this is what apologetics is. And this is evangelism. Here Paul is giving an answer to the Jews for the hope that is within him. Apologetics. And so what I would like for those of you who are listening, especially if you're a young person and you're passionate about apologetics, number one, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but especially don't ever let anyone tell you that you cannot use apologetics to, yes, persuade people that the gospel really is the good news. Yes, in the end, it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes. Yes, that's true. You can't use apologetics and just only use apologetics. You're not going to win people into the kingdom that way. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel. You have to have them together. But no matter what, you're going to be using them in tandem in some way. In some way, you're going to be using apologetics. And so it's apparent that apologetics is used in evangelism. If you go further in Acts chapter 17, Paul, he demonstrates effectively how to use apologetics in his answer to this question of the unknown God at Mars Hill. And he does it in a sermon. Let me say that again. He does it in a sermon. He's not doing it in a format where he is in a debate like many of our modern apologists do. No, he's preaching. And so at verse 22 in Acts chapter 17, it says that Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is Lord of you." So he's proclaiming this, since he is Lord of them. "Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might feel around for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his descendants. Therefore, since we are the descendants of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by human skill and thought. So having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now proclaiming to mankind that all people everywhere are to repent, because he has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all people by raising him from the dead. I love that last part, because I've heard people say you can't prove people into the kingdom. God himself did certain things to prove to all people who he is by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this passage alone, it's the inspiration for the name of this podcast, Bold Apologia. And in this passage, not only did Paul give an answer to the question of the unknown God, but he did it with boldness that the Spirit empowered him with. He first answers the question that he knows who this unknown God is. He says, "What you worship in ignorance, I now proclaim to you." He's saying, I have the answer. This is an apologia. It may not be him giving specific evidences. It may not be him, you know, throwing out some great logical argument, but he's giving them the answer that they have need of. He's saying, I proclaim to you the God that you're saying you don't know. Here he is. And then he explains God's plan and purpose, even pointing out that he set up the boundaries of their habitation so that they might even feel around for him and find him, using that as evidence for his purpose. He then goes on, he addresses the error in the way they were living, how they worshiped idols rather than the one true God, arguing against the way they do things, something you do in apologetics. Then he hits them with that call to repent, telling them of a final day of judgment to come. And then he proclaimed the one man through whom that judgment will be appointed, and that's Jesus Christ. And in those following verses, verses 32, 34, some scoffed. But in verse 35, we clearly see that some repented and believed. Paul using apologetics. Apologetics coupled with the gospel. And so what's the conclusion to these verses concerning this topic, apologetics and evangelism? Apologetics is an effective part of evangelism. And I'll say it again. If you are an evangelist, you use apologetics either well or poorly, but you're using it. Because the point of apologetics is to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And I just want to throw another way that apologetics is effective in Christian life. Yes, there's the evangelism aspect, but for myself, apologetics has built me up. When I look into the evidence concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, it raises my faith. It encourages me. So I would say, it witnesses to us that we know the truth. And seeing that Scripture, the resurrection, creation, the existence of God, and so much more are all backed up by logic, evidence, and sound reasoning, this is encouraging. That in a lot of ways, the best argument the world has against Christianity is they think it's not logical, but then when you look at the reason and logic behind the Christian faith, you see that their arguments are just empty. And it solidifies for me that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. That God is exactly who he says he is. And the more I study apologetics and theology and doctrine, the more sure I am of the worldview of Scripture. With all of that said, I do see that this podcast, at least for this episode, is coming to a close. But I want to affirm in conclusion that though this podcast has the word apologia in it, doesn't mean I'll talk only about apologetics. I think I firmly rested my case that apologetics is encompassed in many things, like doctrine, evangelism. It's encompassed in discipleship, theology, and more. And so for those of you who are listening, I want you to be ready to hear from Christians even of various backgrounds and various testimonies. Be ready to hear about theology, doctrine, and apologetics. Be ready to look at cultural issues, finding the answers to those from a Christian perspective. Church issues. There's a lot of church hurt out there. And I believe that there's answers that need to be given. There's apologias that need to be given to those issues of church hurt. And I want you to be ready to hear about these things from a bold perspective and from bold people. If you want to support this podcast more, please share it with your friends. I would really appreciate that. And until next time, I just want to say God bless and thank you very much. And my prayer is that you'll go out and be bold and share your faith with the lost. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Apologia podcast. To find out more about Adam Parker's projects, writings, or guest podcast episodes, visit his website at www.boldapologia.com. There you can get more information regarding Adam's works, contact him to be a guest on your show, or leave him a comment for Q&A. Until next time, thank you, and God bless.